Well, we're going to get into the final talk for the day. And of course, we'll have Q&A and another sit. But here we're talking about liberation, vimutti, and the ending of the taints. So the question for you, as we dive in, the sort of a reflection question is, what contemporary condition, whether it's technology or politics or the loneliness epidemic or economics or identity or spirituality, what contemporary condition most takes my attention the most? Just if you can hold on to that. So we've been going down this liberation line, if you may, this subway station called transcendental dependent origination. We began with suffering. Hopefully, suffering has been further demystified. Or at least your demystification has been reconfirmed. Then we moved into faith, suffering being a precondition for faith to exist. Your suffering is a precondition for faith. And when you develop faith from seeing your suffering, there's a joy in that, there's an uplift in that. I see it. Oh, I've been playing this game and now I see it. Okay, let me make this more relative so it's more meaningful. So I'll talk about my second divorce. It got so painful, that's the dukkha, that I realized even though it was a little child, I had to leave. So I did. That gave me confidence that I can make a difficult decision even though I was in a spell. Trapped. Then I went to Tulum, Mexico to heal. I went to see Kukulcan and Pachamama. And that brought me joy, gladness, uplift. That, oh, finally, the final healing journey. I'm still talking about the line, the subway line, but I'm personalizing it, even though there's no that self, right? That brought me joy, and then I began to see how I was a co-conspirator, a co-creator of my own dukkha, my own trap. It was my traumas, my mother wound, my father wounds, and all that, the narcissistic abuse. So I endeavored to really just invite tranquility, going on retreats. Cleansing myself, cleansing my mind. That brought tranquility. So now I live where I don't know how to attract chaos into my life. If it looks like chaos, I don't know what that is. Like, what is that? With a lot of loss. That decision and those choices with the losses attendant brought a lot of passati, happiness. Ah, wow. I couldn't imagine the spaciousness could exist. Wow, I'm out of the spell. I'm not over functioning for anybody. I'm not trying to save the world at my expense. I have the savior complex, right? That enabled me to be gathered and concentrated. And being concentrated to the point of our wholesomeness and unwholesomeness means that I can see already what is subjective and what is objective. So we make wholesome choices. That comes from the concentrated mind. The choice to be happy, to be peaceful, to be joyful, to be grateful. We got it. And I have some war stories. So don't get me wrong. I'm not here Pollyanna-ish talking about, you know, Dharma Yachami. That's samadhi. When you stop BSing yourself enough, if I can use a colloquial expression, is where you begin to see things clearly. Because you've allowed yourself to see through yourself. And when you see through yourself deeply, for some of you, you may become a walking trigger, right? Just triggering people left and right because you're like a walking mirror. Does that sound familiar? No? Yes? Maybe? Yes? You don't want to admit it? Maybe? Okay, some thumbs ups. And that ability to see things as they were freed me from a lot of narcissistic covens that I was involved in. And I was no longer resonant to those covens anymore because I could see the game for what it was. With great loss, of course, but I'm out. I'm not playing this anymore. No argument, no drama. I just see what it is. And you begin to see what it is because you're no longer enchanted with the kind of, let me call it the white picket fence kind of dream, right? Is anyone else still going for that white picket fence thing? Yeah? Kind of. You're on it? All right. Your white picket fence or the white picket fence? But when you start to see things as they are, you see, how do you say, behind the veil. And when you see behind the veil, I mean, that's really it. The okie doke doesn't work anymore. You know? And a lot of that is happening collectively. You hear about collective awakening, right? People are very aware, especially Generation Alpha, this 20 and below, right? Born 1995 and half, 21 and below, Generation Alpha. They know everything. Like, what's this thing? There's no point, you know. Have a night. You tricking us? Really? You grown-ups? Oh, no. Have you talked to Generation Alpha? They know everything. And very mature. And a lot of them are turning to Jesus and Buddha. These young people, they're not just vaping and I believe in the future. So when you start to see things as they are, you become dispassionate, then the game loses its appeal, this kind of game. And the game that we used to play was known as the capitalist game, but that's over. We're not in capitalism anymore. We're now in techno-feudalism. Oh, you're talking about capitalism? Well, what's that? What kind of dinosaur business is that? Oh, you want a democracy? There are republics. In fact, 72% of countries I saw data from 2024 are now autocratic. Autocratic. It's 2024. It's probably changed a little. 2 years, right? Margin of error. 72%. You saw that. You know this. Do you want a democracy? Or as Fela would say, demonstration of grace. Oh, socially. I'm going through the pest factors, right? Socially. So the Guardian newspaper just did release this kind of investigative journalism story. It's on their website. It's probably about 2 weeks old, on dating in the contemporary context. Men hate women, women hate men, non-binary people hate non-binary people. Everybody hates everybody. Everybody hates everybody. Everybody's afraid of everybody. All afraid of intimacy. Afraid of love because you're in love with hate. Oh, and then we wonder how we got to peak hate. Program for peak hate. That's where we are now. Oh, you want to be programmed now because you don't want to look at your dukkha? Okay. We're brothers and sisters and kinfolk, so you know I'm with you, right? I'm just sometimes the way I express it comes so that's. Well. We're in this together, are we not? Any limitations to my expression of mine and mine only? But that said, I'm being myself, doing no harm. Technologically, the only thing really preventing AI from doing what it does, I mean, there'll be new jobs, of course, new careers that emerge out of this. But it's already over. Old world is over. It's over. So the old I'm talking about is go to university, you're 22, and get your internship. Start the job, nice job, and get another one. And then if you're a woman, you get married at 26, maybe 27, right? Or maybe 28, maybe. You do the thing and you get promoted, and then you buy the house, the starter house, and then the next one. Then you become an executive, then you take your vacation, and your 401k, your 403b, and then you maybe become a manager, maybe director, maybe VP. And then you go on happy hours and talk about how you hate your boss and your spouse and maybe make a business deal. And then maybe you retire, but you're afraid every Monday. And then maybe you go on vacation. And then maybe you pay for your children's college, maybe. And then what? Yeah, this is how we become disenchanted. You see the game? Yeah. This is the disenchantment we're talking about. We see it. We escape it. I'm not gonna dye my hair. I grew dreadlocks anyway. Somebody might dye their hair purple, fine. But this is the disenchantment. You see the whole game, the whole thing. You can't play with me anymore. You want to trick me? Yeah, okay, have at it. It's all good. Joke's on you. Want to try playing with me? Let's go. You know what I'm doing. Huh? You want to trick me and manipulate me? Okay. Give me your best shot. What you got? Yeah, that's what I thought. How can you trick me when I see myself every day? I'm a mirror to you. I see you coming before you come. May sees everything. Not being glib. This is the whole kit and caboodle. This is the Dharma. The privilege of the Tathagata, the Dharma. That's the wisdom practice. So you still want to go to the beginning and go back to the world and deal with the world, or do you want to be disenchanted and exit to what is real? Or otherwise, you know what's waiting for you: misery, loneliness, separation, hate, greed, hatred, envy. And then we know that all diseases have emotional roots, or nearly all. Let me speak like a scientist. Huh? That's the National Institute of Health. And so you want to make yourself sick too? Okay. Or you want to hate? Okay. You want to be afraid? Okay. I'm speaking to you because I know your authority. Or as Jiddu Krishnamurti would say, you are the world. And the world is you. This world doesn't exist without you. So if it's 8 billion and I'm no longer here, it's no longer 8 billion. It's 7.99999 whatever billion. So everyone matters. Oh, you didn't think you mattered? That's why it's the noble truth. What are you talking about? But you know, I say this often, and may all the Theravada masters and teachers and all those who know more and know everything permit me to say this. I think the Theravada path is a Theravada approach is a very reticent, reserved approach. But when you look beyond the reticence, it's not, I mean, the Tibetan is more open with the deities and the esoterica. In my view, there's no comparison. I think the Theravada path is very deep because no one's going to tell you, but the impact of following your own inquiry to disenchantment reveals more to you. But it becomes irrelevant to talk about, I can see through, I can read someone's mind, I can fly, or what have you. Because those are unimportant if you haven't ended your suffering. You can see all the colors. If you haven't ended your suffering, what are we talking about? You can meditate for 50 years. If you haven't ended your suffering, wagwan. You can be a dedicated practitioner if you're not kind with wisdom. What are we talking about? I'm talking to myself. I'm lying because I don't want to look at my dukkha because I'm afraid. I am afraid of myself. I am afraid of myself. So it's your fault. And it's your fault. And it's your fault. And it's your fault. It's you. Why do I suffer? It's you. So I'm going to make you suffer too. This is what we do. What did they say? Hurt people hurt people. So when somebody hurts you, you should see them in the improper light. How did they say in the South? Bless your heart. So I know from folks in South Carolina. Bless your heart. But without the condescension. You know those southern aristocrats, you know, they know one or two or three of them, maybe four. There's some real genteel folks in Charleston and places like that, huh? Real America. Anyway, bless your heart. Bless your heart. So vimutti, that's what it is. And then it brings us to the ending of all taints. The ending of all taints. Knowledge of the ending of all taints. That's the whole point. Which is the direct knowing that old intoxicating patterns have ended or lost the authority. You know, there's a scene from the movie Antoine Fisher. Denzel Washington produced this movie, Antoine Fisher, which is about this man who becomes a writer later, but he was in foster care, badly abused, and so on and so forth, right? So there's this one family that abused him badly, sexually and otherwise, physically. And later in his life, he's looking for his mom. So he goes to the house, which is the scene of his previous abuse. And he knocks on the door, right? Duh, 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 duh. So they come, two characters there, and they recognize him. Oh, hey, they call him the pejorative name. You're back. And they start to talk to him and treat him like they did when he was abused. What's the point? The point is your old habits will try to remind you of the old identity. Your old suffering. And so when he asked them the question, I'm not here for you. I didn't come to check on you. I'm here because I want to know where my birth mom, who was a drug addict, is. And then they tried to put him back in that position of being this subjective, abusable boy. And he says to them, I remember everything. This is how we treat our old thoughts when they show up. Oh, you're back? Oh, a little trickster. All right, have a seat. You thought I forgot you? Come, 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 come. Oh, hatred, you've come? All right, okay, come, come. Doubt, you're here? Okay, no problem. What do you want? How can I help? Oh, you're looking for old Nana? Oh, he is in the past. I don't know where that version is. Yeah, but this one is here. Yeah, he can see everything. So, what do you want? How can I help you? So, the moment he refused to go back to that old identity, their faces dropped. No resonance. We can't play this game anymore. That's how your old self and old versions of yourself must begin to relate to you. Or as I said, to put some respect on your name. What's the scientific evidence for this? Neuroplasticity. Now I'll give you the spiritual, but I'll give you the evidence too, even though the evidence is sub to the Dharma. Yeah, but okay, fine. Neuroplasticity. In neuroplasticity, you think you're done? You think it's over for you? You didn't know your brain is capable of new neural networks, but you want to still play the old loop? Okay. Okay. You're the boss, not me. I'm the boss of me, because I am the world. Just like you're the boss of you. You are the world. So whatever you say is true. The world is bad? Okay, all right. Remember, the brain is a predictive machine, right? We show you badness. That same world, people, somebody just made $1 billion. Somebody just awakened. Somebody just got married. Somebody just got some good news. But it's a bad place, huh? Okay. You're the boss. Oh. There's so many contemporary conditions that are in our way, in the way of winning yourself back, winning your mind back, winning your heart back, winning yourself back, your not self back. You know, Job losses in by 2030, galore. It's going to happen. Collective identity and this autocratic drift, it might continue for a while. But it's just here to reveal how hateful we've become, so we can become, as the Rastafari, I would say, loveful, loving. Economics, look at it. It's over now. Unless you're fit for purpose for the new world. You know, Alex Karp, who's the CEO of Palantir, I say this a lot recently, of Palantir Technologies, company that most people would say, we don't like this company, we hate them, they're evil. He was interviewed on TikTok maybe 6 weeks ago. Did anybody see that? And these two gentlemen, young men, asked him a question. So in this AI era, who are going to be the winners? And this is what he said, Alex Karp. I paraphrase. The winners are going to be the neurodivergence, the artists, people who can synthesize, people who are connected to themselves. Neurodivergence is corporate code word for empath, bodhisattva, autistic, ADHD, ADD. All these adaptations to modern toxicity, that's who he's talking about. He's not talking about the coders. You're a coder, good luck. Almost useless. You're a programmer, all right. Good luck. So this is Alex Karp. So if you don't want to shift and liberate yourself and free yourself from all the things that hold you back, which starts in the first station, which is dukkha, your trauma, dukkha, your hate, dukkha, your fears, dukkha, your complexes, dukkha. Your conditioning, dukkha. Your bypassing, dukkha. Your being an ostrich, dukkha. So anytime I feel discomfort or irritation, I know I've just hit a growth spurt. Anytime I start getting irritable, I know there's a learning. Anytime I start to get annoyed, I know my intuition is kicking in. Suffering is the portal to liberation. And if you want to skip the steps from the first noble truth and jump to the fourth noble truth, that's bypassing. If you're wondering why happiness is not coming because you've been meditating for so long, that's bypassing. Happiness comes and it just comes because you're available and aligned, not because you're craving for it. Because the moment you start craving for it, what are you introducing? Attachment, dukkha. We do this to ourselves. I do this to me. And when I realized I was the biggest abuser in my life, the moment I realized that, nobody could abuse me anymore. Even though my father told me when I was 17 I will fail in life. That's his dukkha. He was talking about himself. So I want to thank you for your rapt attention, your energy.